We are recording. So I'd like to bring the Otter Rock Water District Board work session of April 29th, 2021 to order. And the time is 6:05. So we'll have roll call online. Commissioner Hall?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Cutler? Richard, you're muted, okay. But Richard's here. Kammerer?
Yes.
And Elliker is here. Public in attendance, we have the nine. Is that Alan there or just Wendy? Oh, she's muted.
Only Wendy.
Okay. Nice to see you, Wendy. And Tim Gross is here. Bonnie's here. The Hearts.
And it's just Lynn. Patty. It's
just Patty.
Yeah, Stan's not here tonight.
Thank you, Patty.
Uh-huh.
And we have Lynn. Is that Lynn Boston?
Yeah. That is okay. Correct.
Thanks. And Alexis and the Mullins. And I think I got everybody. So we have Tim Gross here of Civil West to present a scope of work for our chlorination project.
Good evening. Thank you for having me here. Of the audience, does everybody have a copy of the scope of work I presented, or is it only in the hands of the board members? You'll help me to know what to say.
Board, I believe.
Okay. So I believe on Monday, I forwarded a scope of work to the board of directors or board of commissioners for designing chlorination system for the district to provide the requirements that Oregon Health Authority has required the district to comply with. I met with both Tom and Dana to review the scope of work to be able to revise it so that it could be presented to the board. And we also looked at the site to understand sort of what the site constraints were to be able to do a design like that. Normally I don't necessarily include or identify kind of what the design might be, but I think we narrowed it down to one of two options. Previously, Cascade Waterworks had proposed to design a chlorination system that would inject the chlorine directly into the distribution line going out to the distribution system. And something for you all to consider is that for a chlorination system, for chlorine to work, it needs to have a period of time to be able to work. And so you can provide that time either by having a long distance between your first water service and where you put the chlorine in so that the pipe can provide the time for the chlorine to work, or you can put in a tank of some sort. Most water systems use one or the other or a combination of both. In order to meet the disinfection requirements that the district needs before the first water service, you would have to feed chlorine at a relatively high concentration that you would notice if you injected the chlorine right into the water pipeline, because it's only 6 inches in diameter. It doesn't have a lot of water in it. And so the chlorine needs to be in contact with that water for a period of time. And so knowing that the district really is concerned about the taste and quality of your water, you know, we have a couple things we can consider. One is you can install another tank, which would require some level of a foundation. It doesn't have to be a very large tank. I think I calculated out it only needs to be about 3,000 gallons. I probably recommend something slightly larger than that so you have a little bit of backup. But you use the tank for your chlorine concentration time, and then you can use a simple chlorine injection skid. It sits on basically on a pallet. It takes water out of the tank. It samples what the chlorine level is. It adds chlorine if needed, and it injects it back into the tank. And that allows you to get the chlorine concentration time that you need but helps you to be able to feed at low enough dosages that hopefully you don't notice it in the distribution system. Another alternative is you already have a relatively small tank. There's two tanks on site. One is the large raw water storage tank. The other is a 30,000 gallon concrete tank that I think was the original tank in the district. The configuration right now is that the springs go into the small storage tank, then it goes to the big storage tank before it goes into the distribution system. You could use the small storage tank for chlorine contact, so you don't have to install another tank, but it would require some repiping so that you actually change the order. The water goes to the big tank first and then to the small tank. So that's another option. And so the scope of work really compares both, what the cost would be to do either, what the benefits are to do one versus the other, and then the district can choose which one makes the most sense and we can proceed with the design accordingly. The design needs to be reviewed by Oregon Health Authority and signed off. They're usually pretty fast about that. And then the scope of work includes soliciting quotes for necessary equipment and services to install the system, as well as preparing operations and maintenance manual for the system so that future operators understand how it works, or any of the board members for that matter either. And ideally what you'd have is a system that was fully automated. Once you get your chlorine concentration set where you want it to be, other than adding chlorine to the system and checking to make sure that it's working, there should really be little or no adjustment necessary. It runs on its own. You do your chlorine sampling as necessary. And if you need to increase or decrease the dosages, you know, that's possible, but you should in theory get to a point where you don't have to do an adjustment to it. And that's about it for the content. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. I didn't see anything, and I saw two things regarding design goals, but I didn't see anything that mentioned the considerations down the road for the facility when we demo the large tank and replace all the main lines up at the tank farm. Mm-hmm. That this will be out of the way and won't have to be moved or numerous times until we get it hooked up with the new system?
So that's something that will have to be discussed with the two options that you're looking at. So in some point in the future, you're going to need to build a new tank. And it's likely going to go in the location, where the 300,000 gallon tank currently sits. So if you decide to use the smaller tank for chlorine concentration, that could in theory stay in place until such time that you build the new tank. And then it's likely your chlorine injection system will move. But you should be able to use the same equipment because the chlorine system is designed to provide chlorine concentration for the distribution system. And that's not going to change in size. And so in theory, you could use the same chlorine skid, even if it might actually pull water from and inject in a different location. If you buy a small tank right now, you should in theory be able to still use that tank for chlorination of this system again. And so it's hard at this point in time to design a system that would never be moved again, because honestly, you only have so much space on the tank site. And right. When you design a future improvement there, it's probably likely the thing will have to move out of the way at some point. But I don't expect that you'll have to replace the equipment. You simply use the same equipment and move it someplace else. These types of skids are pretty simple. And what it does is it's a self-contained unit. It pulls water out of your chlorine contact tank, whatever that might be. It analyzes it for chlorine concentration. If the concentration is fine, it doesn't add any chlorine. If it's low, it adds some, and it pumps it back into that vessel until you get it to the concentration that you want. And so you could tap a vessel anywhere to do that, really. And the unit is the same. There are some concerns functional concerns of the system that we talked about. You need to have enough chlorine on site, obviously, to run for whatever period of time you feel comfortable with. And then it has to actually get delivered to where you're injecting it. And so if you've been up at the tank site, it's pretty hilly. And so some poor guy is not going to want to muscle a 55-gallon drum with a two-wheeler down that hill. And so placement or how you access it or how you deliver chlorine, will be important. And that needs to be considered. And that's a detail that will get sorted out in the design. And I would imagine that when you build a new tank site, you'd have probably better access to that site, and then it becomes less of a concern.
Okay, but you haven't set on any location for the equipment?
We would have to analyze that, because if you decided to put in a tank, a small tank, there's only so many locations it can go. It has to be downstream of your system. And so that means that it goes down the hill someplace. And there's a foundation that you really would need to build to support a tank like that. And so we went back and forth on what would make more sense, putting in a new tank, a small tank, or using the tank that you have. Both are invasive in some level, and both of them would very likely require that chlorination system to be on the downhill side of the small tank. No matter what you do, it's going to be over there. Which is good, because again, if you're building a new tank, it's probably going to be where the large tank is now. And so
it will have to be. That lot's not very big. There's right. The boundaries are, especially on the west side, there's not much room.
Whether you use the small tank for a chlorination contact vessel or you put in another tank, both of them would functionally work the same when you're building the new tank. You just feed from your rings to that small vessel, that small tank, right to the distribution system, and the large tank is taken offline while you're building it. They would basically work the same.
Okay. I also had a question on timelines.
Yeah, it needs to happen quick.
I didn't see any estimation of, I like to get my ducks in order so I know what I'm looking at. Would that be coming next?
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason why we couldn't have a plan in place for Oregon Health Authority review, within a few weeks. It's a relatively straightforward design. I'm unsure about the availability of materials. That's more my concern. So once, say you wanted to order a piece of equipment, how long it would actually take to get here. So I don't have a defined schedule in there, because I don't know what to tell either you or Oregon Health Authority until we start to do the work. From my perspective, we can get on it right away with what we need to do in order to get that information. But I don't know how available some of that equipment is.
Jim, have you heard back from OHA as far as an extension?
They have not given me a time frame for an extension, because I didn't ask for. So I was under the, I didn't realize that the district had signed the agreement earlier this month. The last document I had seen was unsigned yet. And so I said, hey, since it's not signed, can we make the time frame longer? And they said, oh, it's signed. And so I didn't follow through with that. And so if we have a plan, I didn't let them know that the district is considering a new design. And so if the district executes the scope of work and we have a new design concept, and I have an idea about how long it will take to get equipment, then I'll reach back out to Oregon Health Authority well before that timeline and see if they're willing to do an amendment to make concessions for that lead time on equipment.
Another question I had was, since the small tank where the chlorination would occur is downstream of the big tank, will we lose any pressure in the system? Would the chlorination tanks be pressurized tanks, closed systems, or would they have a free water surface?
I was actually just thinking about that today, Tom, because if you have a small tank, it would have to be pressurized, because it couldn't be tall enough to match the pressure zone of your existing tanks. And so it would have to be basically a bulge in your distribution system. And it can be designed that way. You don't have a lot of head pressure to make that not possible. But it's something that would have to be considered. And the idea would be you would design it so you wouldn't create pressure fluctuation issues. I was talking with another one of my engineers today about the meter providing a necking down of the distribution system. And since you have such low pressures already, even though on a normal circumstance that wouldn't cause much of a problem, I think every restriction in your system causes a problem now. And so you would have to design it so that it wouldn't cause any pressure related issues.
And if we use the small tank, the 30,000 existing tank, that already is about the same elevation as the big tank, so that would be no loss.
Right.
Kim, when would we be able to get an estimate of the total cost? We don't have unlimited funds.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be about, from if you decided to execute the agreement from whatever date that is, it'd probably take me about 4 weeks, because I'd have to communicate with the equipment vendors and make sure that I have a complete list of materials so you have a concrete estimate on that cost. And then I would be probably estimating contractor costs to do the work, but that's more defined. There's not a lot of variability in that. So 4 weeks is probably my best.
So yeah,
that would be probably around June 1st.
So we won't have any idea what it is for another month.
Yeah, and I would expect that if we do have a cost around June 1st, about what we expect the cost will be, and a time frame for deliverability of the equipment once an order is placed, that the board can make a decision, a go, no go decision, and then we can get contractors on board to do the work. Ideally, they still may be able to get it done before July 31st, or I think it was July 31st or July 28th. It was some end of the July date that was within the agreement. And we'll be able to assess then. And then we'll also be able to make a request for an extension if necessary.
Well, is there any way for you to estimate? You've got the two options. Which one's what's the difference in cost between the two?
I'm not sure, because I haven't been able to run the quantities or do a design that I'm confident in. So I included just a pencil sketch, really, of how you might be able to repipe some of the piping on the site to be able to just switch the order of the tanks. We had gone out on the site and discussed that concept, and it needs some improvement. But without actually drafting it out and testing it through some models, I don't know. And once I do some preliminary design and some modeling of it, then I can assess what's going to work, how much quantity goes in that, and compare the two options.
Okay. Lisa, you have any questions?
No, I don't actually. My gut is that, using the existing tank is going to be cheaper than building one, and it's shorter on time, and it's probably what we, we'll probably end up doing, but I don't know. No, I don't have any questions.
Okay. Dick, you have any questions? You're muted, Dick. Click on that unmute. Uh-oh, we lost his video. There he is. We got you back. You're still muted though.
Hi,
Okay, so the decision here is just between the two systems, either buying a tank or using our existing tank, right? So, you know, I guess the question is cost, but I mean, like Lisa said, we have an existing tank, so I'm kind of for using our existing tank at this point.
But there probably would be cost in switching the direction of the water flow, right?
So you would end up having to do pipe work no matter what option you chose, because you would have to you would basically have to run the discharge pipe through a chlorine contact vessel. So it implies that you'd cut into the pipe that you have, you'd tee it up into the chlorine contact vessel, tee it back down and back into the contact vessel with a valve in between. So you have that pipe work you'd have to do no matter what.
Oh yeah.
And the purchase of the tank and the base modification.
Yeah.
If you use the existing tank that you have, there's three valves you'd have to put in and some pipe work that you'd have to do. And then, you know, basically everything else ends up being the same regardless of what option you choose. You need a small building to put it in. There's a little bit of electrical work that you need to do and
the
unit itself. So.
Am I still muted? Can you hear me?
Now we can hear you, Dick. Hi.
Okay.
And see you.
I just wanted to ask Mr. Gross, why wouldn't we use the smaller tank? Why would we at this time even consider the looks like more expensive alternative?
I think they're not going to be too far off from each other. It depends on, you know, in one option, if we use the existing tank, there's at least three valves and some piping associated with that. If you use a smaller tank, you probably could get away with one valve. Or two valves, you know, so we're really getting down to cost here. And so it's worth just looking at the two. Cause I wouldn't be willing to bet which one is going to be the least cost option, frankly.
If we wanted to hear more about the options, we probably have to give Tim a requirement to have a review period somewhere within the design period, because he doesn't know yet, apparently.
Yeah, and I would present, you know, I'd have a pretty, the design is not particularly detailed. I mean, it's really line work, making sure that the pipes work and the diameters are appropriate. And so designing both is pretty straightforward and quick. And then it gives me enough quantities to be able to give you an estimate. Once I have that, you can make the decision on which way to go based on which is probably going to be the most cost effective. And then that part of the design is forwarded to Oregon Health Authority for review.
One thing that Dick, you might want to know is that if there was a tank added, he's only talking about a small tank that's fairly inexpensive. It's not like another big concrete tank. It's 3,000 to 5,000 gallon, right, Tim?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's all quantity.
Polyethylene tank, I think.
Yeah, they sell them at Barrelhead. You can pick one up anytime you want. The trick is it because it needs to be pressurized, although with not much pressure, I need to make sure we get the right kind of tank for that. You know, just a screw-on lid is probably not enough. It needs to be sealed in some fashion.
Okay. Well, I'm just in on the very tail end of this, so all I can do is ask basic questions. And I have only one other one. Do you have a list of your fees? I assume that this is all being done on time and material.
Yeah, I usually attach that, and I clearly didn't, but I will forward that to the board. I think you actually sent it. You have a copy of our fee schedule as part of the engineer of record agreement that was recently executed already. But I can send you another.
Yeah, but yeah, Richard wouldn't have that. We had a email snafu, so he doesn't have all the history. But
I will. When we're done with the meeting, I'll forward an email with that attachment to the board members.
Okay, thank you. And the part B estimate is assuming the small tank going that direction.
The engineering scope of work did not assume either. It assumed that we would make that decision and move forward.
Oh, okay. Those were just your estimated fees to do the work and get us to that point. Okay, good.
When you talk about a pressurized smaller tank, an additional, how do you pressurize a tank? How are you going to pressurize it?
You don't pressurize it intentionally. It pressurizes itself because it's part of your distribution system. You, in reality, have an air relief on the top. So when you open up the valve, the water fills the tank up to the top and it releases the air out of it as it goes. And then it literally becomes part of the distribution system. So just think it as a big bulge in the pipe. That's all it really represents.
So it's working off the gravity of our tanks like our tanks are doing.
That's correct, exactly.
Oh, I got you.
It's like a pressure vessel that you see in a water system in somebody's house. You know, somebody has a well, there's usually a small pressure tank in it. It's exactly the same concept.
Okay. Whoops.
So is there an advantage to having a smaller mixing tank versus having our 30,000 gallon tank as a mixing tank?
From the perspective of chlorine, no.
There's no advantage there of having more water to mix the chlorine with and then distributing it?
Well, I think you have more controllability the more volume you have. So, you know, I think with the 30,000 gallon tank, you're not going to see as much fluctuation. Because even with, a 3,000 gallon tank, if you have a lot of water demand in a particular day, you know, it could be that chlorine concentration could adjust based on how much demand is going through it. So as a proportion, you know, the 30,000 gallon tank represents, you know, what, 2 days of demand in the system? What do you think? You average 17,000 gallons a day. Was that right?
Oh, no, we're 20 to 30.
20 to 30. So that's a day's use a day's worth of use, as opposed to say a 3,000 to 5,000 gallon tank, which, you know, could turn over 6 times in a day then.
Right.
Just depends on the time of year. It goes way, way down in the winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, middle of July and August is real high because of the tourist activity here. And we're half of our homes are vacation homes.
It's pretty typical that distribution systems have tanks, chlorine concentration tanks, quite large, larger than maybe the minimum that's necessary. For that reason, it reduces variability. You know, you have much more consistency with it because you have more volume to work with. Now, there's a depreciating volume after a while. You don't want to inject chlorine in more water than you'll use, but a 24-hour turnaround period is pretty good, and that helps you balance things out. Honestly, my first thought was always using that small tank for chlorine concentration because you have it. But another tank would also work. And I didn't want to dismiss it out of hand without looking at it a little bit.
Well, it sounds like there's quite a few in favor of using the small tank system. Am I right on that? Is everybody kind of in agreement with that?
I don't know.
Well, sorry, Beth, go ahead.
Oh. What do you mean by the small tank system?
Using the small tank as a chlorinating, mixing chlorine.
Our existing small tank?
Yeah, using our own existing tank.
Yeah, I suppose, as long as it gets cleaned, probably, which
is
there some information on.
Is there anyone opposed to that? It sounds like everyone's in favor of it.
I think we should let Tim look at the other option too, and I think it's too early to decide.
Okay.
So Tim, go ahead.
Tim, would it save us time if we just decided tonight one way or the other?
Yeah, it sure would.
I wouldn't 4 weeks.
I wouldn't even price out the alternate tank option. I just look at the piping necessary to do the small tank and just move forward with it. It would save some time. I don't know how much time, but it would save some time.
Okay, thanks.
Well, gang, what do you think?
Can you hear me or am I muted again?
No, we hear you, Dick.
Oh, okay. Well, I came in on the end here, and I guess there's a deadline in July that everything has to be, at least the design has to be, or do we have to be implemented by that time?
It's supposed to be installed and operating by that time.
Okay, and then there's a fairly stiff penalty if it's not.
Yeah, unless they give us some leeway.
Mr. Gross, how likely are we to get leeway? I mean, are they really by the book?
Generally, they work with you. And if you have a good plan and you're going to implement that plan and they're confident that you're going to implement that plan, I think that they're likely to give you an extension, because it even says within the OAR that references that requirement that you can come up with a mutually agreed upon time frame. Now, the district missed a time window in there once already. And so if that happens again, I think they would probably not be willing to work with you. And so I'm confident, optimistically confident, that they would extend it if needed. But, you know, we need to show due diligence and have a good reason and a schedule of when we'll comply with it. If you asked for a year, I'd say no. If you ask for a month or two, they're probably going to say yeah.
Okay. I have one more question in regards to the amount of chlorine needed to satisfy or saturate a system. I assume that that's like a bound chlorine. It's like SO2. There's a certain amount of it that's bound and not useful. And then there's a portion that's free, and that provides the protection.
That's correct. Yeah. So you must maintain a chlorine concentration within your distribution system of 0.02 milligrams per liter of free chlorine at all times.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So one thing we don't know is how much chlorine demand your system will require to allow that 0.02 free chlorine to remain. You know, there's always some disinfection level demand of the chlorine. You know, you could feed a high level of chlorine concentration at the chlorine contact tank, and at the end of your distribution system, still only see 0.02 milligrams per liter. So we don't know what that is going to be until you get the chlorine system installed. There's a lot in your system right now that's going to cause a big chlorine demand at first, until the system is in theory disinfected and you stabilize out that chlorine concentration.
Okay, thank you. Well, we obviously have to go ahead. It's just a matter of common sense, I guess.
Well, you know, the other option choice that you have is you do have a plan from Cascade Water that I think won't work well for you. That's just my opinion. I know for a fact that you're going to be feeding at least 1.2 milligrams per liter just to get the log 3 and 4 disinfection that you're required to have, and you'll notice the chlorine. And so it doesn't meet the objectives that you have as a district. And so your other alternative is to go with me, or a third option that is yet to, you know, to be determined.
Beth, I have a question for Tim Gross. You mentioned that there is just some piping issues if you use a 30,000 gallon tank. What specific piping issues are they? And I don't need to know that, but I think the board needs to know that, because I'm familiar with all the valves and the pipes and the things that go between the tanks. some do not work, and some are buried in concrete, and some are very difficult to replace. I don't know what you meant by that, but it could be a significant cost if you had to replace some of those valves or just add new piping into the 30,000 gallon tank. That should be known before you kind of make that decision between the 3,000 to 5,000 gallon tank and the 30,000 gallon tank.
I agree. The general answer is the springs feed the small tank first, and they need to feed the big tank first. And so how you get those springs to feed the big tank first is the question. And so that's the piping modifications that are necessary.
So on spring one, definitely goes into the big tank. Spring two, we put the new valves in from spring one to go into there. Now, I believe that there is piping in existence to go into the big tank. I couldn't guarantee that, but I don't know if the valves work correctly or not. I know that there was a leak issue, that sort of thing, but it should be able to do it.
So one thing is that we aren't relying on any, well, I was not relying on any of the existing valves that aren't currently being used for a proposed piping scenario. So, not knowing what works and what doesn't, I know what does work because they're open and using that same conveyance system, adding some additional valves that you know will work when you're done to control the system. And I know there's a lot of valves out there now, but we can test some of them to ensure they work or they don't work if we need to use one or the other. And so there's a bit of site investigation that's part of this process to make sure that what has been proposed to be done will actually work when you get into the field and you're not guessing. We're not going to guess here.
Thank you.
Bonnie has her hand raised, but she's still on mute, so.
Bonnie. Okay, I'm off mute. Just a few questions. When was this engineering scope of work actually provided to all of the board members?
It was sent on Monday.
Monday, by mail or email?
Email to the board members' email addresses.
Okay. And then this might be a little premature, but what kind of coverage would you provide if the work doesn't fall within the Oregon Health Authority's timeframe?
I don't understand the question. Can you repeat it?
So if in fact we run into our penalty phase, what is Civil West willing to cover or do with regards to the penalty costs?
Nothing, frankly. Well, we're providing a design for you to meet, your goals, and we're advocating on your behalf, but the Civil West is not indemnifying the district in any way if you incur penalties because of not meeting timelines that you agreed to with Oregon Health Authority. And that's a contract directly between you and OHA.
All right. Well, those are the only two questions I have at this time.
Well, let's talk about part B, project fee proposal, which you included. I'm assuming that this is what you need us to okay and tell you to proceed.
So the scope of work, you would approve a scope of work as a whole. I do not think I sent you a contract that goes with this. You've seen one before. It's going to look exactly the same. It's just going to have this dollar value in it. But, you know, if the board decides they want to proceed with this work, you would, you know, vote on approving it and sign the contract, and we would begin. And that's as simple as it is.
Okay. Well, since our customers haven't seen this, let me read this out. They sent us a summary of proposed engineering budget. Project management and administration, 1,530. Preparation of chlorination system design documents, 5,130. Bidding, procurement, and construction management services, 3,930. And reimbursables, such as mileage, et cetera, $200, for a total proposed budget of $10,790. So that's what we would be, I guess, approving tonight.
Well, we'd be voting on to use the small tank as our chlorination tank.
Not necessarily. I mean, you could.
Well, we could both.
He said he could work up. He could work up either one of them, or we could choose one.
Yep, we could.
But choose. What we would need to do also is okay the proposed budget that for the engineering of the project.
Why not do both?
You could, you can. All we need is a motion.
Our motion that we move forward on using the small tank as a chlorination system, chlorinating tank, and that we approve the proposed engineering budget.
Could you define that? When you say the small tank, you're talking about our existing 30,000 gallon tank?
Yes, using the existing 30,000 gallon tank as our mixing tank.
And approve the
proposed engineering budget.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
I'm blind.
Okay, is there any further discussion?
Yes, I would like to say, what if Tim finds a flaw in the concept of using the other tank, of the existing 30,000 gallon tank? Then we have to come back to the table and okay him to switch over to the other tank. If we okay him to consider both, it gives him, instead of micromanaging his process, design process, it gives him more leeway to choose the best system.
Okay,
any other comments?
What do you think, Tim? Does that sound like what you do?
You know, I need to work out some details on the plumbing, if you will, for feeding the tanks appropriately. You know, if for some reason it starts to build in cost, you know, I would have to come back to the board for authorization to look at another design alternative, where if you simply approve the scope as written, I would identify the two options, and if one becomes unfeasible, abandon it and simply proceed with the other. That's the most timely. I can start working on using the small tank first. And if it appears that's feasible and cost effective, just continue with it. If it becomes a problem, I can abandon it and move to simply installing another small tank. I know the other small tank will work. I know exactly how that would be designed. I just don't know if it's the most effective method. And I would probably prefer to use the existing concrete 30,000 gallon tank if I could, but I haven't developed that thought process enough to confirm that we can do that. There's a lot of pipe in the ground out there, and I want to make sure we don't make the situation worse instead of better. And to Beth's point, what we do end up constructing doesn't preclude us from doing something in the future to replace the large reservoir, that it will allow that process to take place without having to do a bunch of changes to the chlorination system again.
So Dana, do you wanna amend your motion as Tom suggested, or do you wanna leave it as it is?
Yeah, I guess we should give Tim the option if he moves along with the small tank and finds that the other one is more more advantageous, then he should have that option.
Okay, someone turn your phone off.
Sorry.
And Beth, Jerry just joined us.
I see that.
Okay.
So we have a motion on the floor. Dana, would you restate it as you want it to now read?
Oh, see, I thought it was simple, but now it's gotten a little more, how would I phrase it?
All you have to do is withdraw your existing motion and start a new one.
Okay.
Well, you can, or you can just amend it. Either way.
So basically, you would just add the option of Tim going with the tank version versus our current tank, depending on, you know, cost down the road. I don't know how to phrase it. But.
So how may I make a recommendation and just make a motion to approve the scope of work as presented?
I would agree.
Okay.
We could add with that we have a preference for using the 30,000 gallon tank if possible.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, that sounds good.
That sounds good, huh?
This is all new to me. I don't know. I you know, handshake and we're good to go. But
well, you got to state it right so it gets done right. Okay, approve scope of work.
So let's see.
With preference to the 30,000 gallon tank and approve the proposed engineering budget. How's that sound?
That sounds about what we're talking about.
Okay, any other discussion, any other questions from the board? If not, let's vote. Paul?
Yes.
Taylor.
Yes.
Cutler. Was that a yes? He's muted. We can't tell.
You're muted.
Raise your hand if it's a yes. Okay. That's a yes. Thanks, Dick. Tom Cameron.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, Ellicker will be yes. That's five yeses, motion passes. Okay.
I will begin as soon as I can here, hopefully even as soon as tomorrow. And I'll keep you informed of my progress so we can move it along as quickly as we can, okay?
Appreciate that.
And yes, thank you, Tim.
And
thanks, Tim.
If possible, I might like to visit the site again because I need to take a look at the valves in the bottom of the small tank so I can actually get some good measurements on some things, distances and some things. So
okay.
Thank you. I'm gonna go have a nice evening.
I was just gonna say, Tim, if you need any assistance or any access to the tank or my help, feel free to let me know.
Great. Thank you. I'll do that.
All right.
Good night.
Night.
Night. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay. Chlorination system is done. I have something I'd like to add to the agenda, and that is tank cleaning. Craig was talking about that the other day. He requested talking to a few of us board members about some concerns about maintenance. And I had the opportunity to talk to our friend Jim Osborne about tank cleaning. And I think it would be especially prudent. He said it's definitely time to clean the tank, at least the small tank, if we're going to use it in any fashion with this chlorination system. Although most recommendations go longer in years for tank cleaning because we're running raw water, untreated water through our systems, he recommended it would be more often. We last had the tanks cleaned in November of 2019. We had a company come out, and actually they only inspected the large tank. They supposedly cleaned and inspected the small tank. The total cost was $3,095 for all of it. They have a $495 mobilization fee, and they charged $1,250 to clean the small tank. Jim told me he was very disappointed in their cleaning, and he ended up going in there in the small tank and cleaning it himself after they left. They didn't scrub down the walls at all. I asked him if he would be interested in coming up and doing that for us, and he would. And he has all the equipment that he needs. He would come up and clean the small tank for $900. And that would also include cleaning and sanitizing all the springs, because he said as long as you got the springs off, you might as well clean them too. Any comment on that?
Sounds like a good price.
Yes, I agree. I think we should do it.
Yeah. Well, I know when Buzz was working with the system this, I guess it was last fall, and they partially drained the small tank and then refilled it. He said it really stirred up a lot of stuff. There was a lot of sediment in the tank. And so, especially I think if we're going to be using it as a containment tank, it really needs to be cleaned before that happens. And also Jim said, now is the time to do it while we've had decent flow of the water and before it, you know, our spring flow slows down. So he would be willing to come up for the weekend. In a week or two and do that if we were interested in it.
I know Jim used to do that, but I also think we should get some additional input as to whether that's required or even a good idea. And also I think we should find out about how chlorine is handled in the cleaning process and how it's dumped into the environment as part of the process.
Well, there's not much chlorine in his cleaning process. He would go in and power wash the inside of the tank. And yes, you do have to sanitize the tank afterwards, but it's just like we have to sanitize the springs every once in a while.
My statements remain. I still think we ought to get a professional opinion on that from Civil West or from possibly OHA, but.
Okay, you want to do that?
If we can define, let's see. I'm willing to do whatever has to be done. I'll have to think about the exact questions to ask. And
I would just like to go for it because our window is very short between now and when the springs just start drying up. I think I'm going to make a motion.
I'd like to make a comment first.
Okay.
I think we should do the small tank. It'd be advantageous to be able to drain that and clean it and have Tim take a look in there at what he needs to inspect. And so I think as far as having the small tank drained and cleaned would be the thing to go for sure. So I'm for that. But we definitely have to be considerate about, you know, putting chlorine or disinfectant in our springs and where it's going to go from our drains from our tanks and from the springs themselves. You know, there's a certain environmental issue that, you know, is going to be raised here depending on what the disinfectant is used.
Right. You know?
And I talked to Jim also. I called him up to ask about what a piece of equipment was, what the float in the big tank was. And that was just today. And we got into talking about the cleaning because he brought it up. And the chlorine, so he pressure washes it and then he disinfects the inside. And the chlorine disinfection concentrations of chlorine, well, you have to use the disinfection process is a lot more chlorine intensive than the residual chlorine that goes into your drinking water. And after he pressure washes it and disinfects it, then he has to, well, there's some, I'm not sure if he fills the tank with water and it mixes with the chlorine and it's being used up by whatever organics might be in the tank. There is some demand, but then he dumps the water out, the chlorinated water out and on the ground. And then he refills it. And I think there's also, I was reading the laws and I think there might be a requirement for when that is done, that the tank be tested for coliform before it's put back online, after it's rinsed and refilled, that we're supposed to submit a coliform test to the state. I don't think that was done before, but I think it's required. So we should check on that. But the dumping of the chlorinated water, I don't know what concentration that would be, but we should know before we do it.
So we could test it. Is that what you're saying?
And then if
it tests too high, then what do you do? Because I know you do have to cleanse the tank. You're going to get a coliform reading on your next water test.
Well, I will. I still have my questions about what the state or the engineer has to say about whether that's necessary or not to clean the tank. It might very well be, but I'd like to hear more about that. Did you ask what would you do if the concentration is too high? If we tested it and then it was above the limit to dump, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, there are other options out there. There's dechlor methods available. I know Tim knows about those. He's talked about it before. You're supposed to dechlor whenever you dump a chlorinated water, and that's whether it's in a fire hydrant or dumping it out of a tank. And so that would be one option, is dechlorination. The other would be time to wait until the till either the chlorine dissipated for whatever reason, whether due to demand or just due to evaporation.
Well, it wouldn't evaporate from the tank, would it? Do you know how long that takes? Because I know I used to leave it a couple days before we put the tank online again.
I don't have the answer. That's why I want to ask the questions.
Okay. Would you want to do that?
I will look into that.
Contact people. That would be good. Lisa, do you still want to make a motion?
No. But Pat wants to say something.
Okay.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
Oh. So I somehow shut off my picture when I thought mm-hmm. I was shutting off the sound. Oh dear. Okay. I'm not positive, and I no longer have all my records because I passed them along, but it seems to me that in the past there was an issue with Jim working in the tanks and not having appropriate breathing apparatus to be working in the tanks.
He ended up borrowing the equipment from somewhere, the respirator, when I helped him do it once.
Oh, you've seen the equipment? Okay. I didn't know that it had ever actually been borrowed. Okay, good.
I thought that was donated from the Depot Bay Fire Department.
And yeah.
We got respirators and tanks mm-hmm. donated.
Right.
Tom, I don't know what the limit is, but I know that basically the disinfectant was maybe at most 3 gallons to 5 gallons of bleach in the tank on a spray with a pressure washer, and then filled up with completely full after it sat for a day and the gas dissipated somewhat. And but it seems like that percentage would be very, very, very small.
Well, Jim told me today that he had a different procedure, that he pressure washed it and then brushed it on by hand, a high concentration, a chlorine concentration, brushed all the walls down, and then let it sit and then went through the other procedure that I mentioned, the filling and rinsing.
We need the ceiling too, and it was sprayed. But the high concentration, I don't know what that was, because I bought the bleach and it was 5 gallons, 3 to 5 gallons. I'm not sure I used them all on the tank.
Well, that's, I'll look into all that, but the what concentration it would result in the water when the tank is filled. Mm-hmm. But remember that when Buzz was adding chlorine to the springs, that was a very small amount. That was, you know, a few cups, and it brought our chlorine levels up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty powerful stuff. And so if we had, instead of half a gallon, and we had 5 gallons of the same concentration, 12.5% chlorine sprayed on the walls, you know, that's significant amount of chlorine in there. And I just want to check.
Yeah. Isn't some of it going to, a lot of it going to get used up?
Yes, some of it will, there will be a demand in there, but we don't know what that is.
Okay. Well, it seems like our time frame for doing this is pretty soon, and I just can't fathom not cleaning that tank, especially if we're going to use it, and knowing the when that water did get stirred up and we all got a hit of just horrible water for a little while, it tasted like, you know, 2 months old stale dusty water. It was pretty bad.
Well, I don't think we're opposed to cleaning the tanks in the system. I think we're what we're saying is we want to do it responsibly.
Right, but we need to.
Or you just did it and drained it down the stream and everything. So I don't think anyone's opposed to it.
Well, no, Tom said he wondered if we even needed to clean it.
No, but he wants to make sure that we do it the proper way. I mean, this
right,
is.
Right, right.
But Beth, can you tell me any factual basis for a technical basis for where cleaning the tank is required? Do you have any information, or are you just going on past, you know, hearsay?
Yeah, I'm going on Jim's advice when he could visually see the scum on the side of the walls, because we have raw water going through there and our climate, and the fact that there was a whole lot of sediment in the bottom of the tank, which would explain the foul tasting water that came through a very short period. But I mean, and all that sediment, you know, is going to support coliform growth anyway. So obviously you want a clean tank to start with.
Well, I really think that the board should go change their way of doing things. And instead of doing it the way things have been done and using, you know, past practices and what they think is logical, they should also consider more of a scientific approach and check the laws, check the guidance from the state, check the engineer, and so we don't screw up.
Right, we don't, yeah, I agree. We don't want to screw up, but we also rely on people who have experience in the field of taking care of our water system.
Well, let me tell you something that I found out. The people who supposedly had the experience, I found out, were overfilling the big tank. For all the past operators have been doing this, apparently. The tank has been overfilled by a foot. And I went through some calculations just to check out what the effect would be of adding a foot more pressure than that tank was designed for. And I found that it increased the loads on the side of the tank 20%, over 20%. And we have a cracked tank now in the corners, it's breaking apart. I've been trying to figure out, you know, for the last year, what's going on with it. I measured the deflection, and we know that there's a problem with that tank because of the cracking. And so this is a big piece of the puzzle. If we're overloading that tank, that was apparently done to reroute the water, so to minimize the amount that operators would have to interact with the tank and to adjust flows and such. So it, if you raise the tank, it pushes the water from spring one back into spring two. And it avoids, it's a way to manage the water flow. But what people didn't consider was the forces at work on the tank. And that could be the cause of the cracks in the tank. So that's an example of past practices that have been done for a long time. And that's a good reason, I think, to not follow those practices blindly and to get good reason to get additional advice from professionals.
Okay. So back to cleaning.
Can I ask a question? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Rick. Dick, we can. I can't see you, but we can hear you.
Well, that's to your advantage. I would like to know when the sediment that's in the tank itself, how is that removed? Is that pumped out?
I believe so.
It doesn't go into the main line, right?
Well, we don't want it in the main line. It won't go now unless it gets stirred up, which is what happened. But
okay, and I was just wondering about the cleaning part that you were talking is, and those heavier concentrations of chlorine, are those gathered up and pumped out, or they aren't? I don't know the piping configuration, so I'm flying blind here. But do they normally, as a part of the cleaning process, literally vacuum or pump out anything that comes off the walls?
No, they
well,
don't.
Yeah, that's the first stage, and then the chlorine comes in as a cleansing after the cleaning.
There is no pumping that goes out of the tank. They don't suck out anything out of the tank. Anything that's dislodged, either Jim would have to basically sweep it up and remove it, or else it would have to get flushed out when he fills the tank and then drains it. And then the water with the sediment, the dislodged sediment and the chlorine would go out the discharge pipe, the bottom drain, onto the ground surface and into the stream.
Oh, okay. So there is a separate discharge.
Yeah, there's a bottom drain on the tank.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay, so where do we go from here? Some of us think we need a clean tank. Tom wants to investigate the cleaning and the chlorination effects. Do you want to check into that? Dana, do you have an opinion on this?
Well, you said Jim couldn't do the small tank for a couple of weeks. That should give us time for Tim to come and inspect it. We're going to have to drain it anyway for Tim to look in it and make his engineering plans accordingly. I mean, he commented tonight that he needs to look in there and see what the stuff in the tank. So that would be to our advantage to have him come up to at least do the small tank.
And we could discuss the cleaning process with him.
Yeah, I honestly think, guys, you know, Jim would not harm our community by dumping chlorine water in on the ground.
He told me today that he does that, but he didn't feel that it was harmful to the environment.
And there are guidelines.
And I would never call what Jim says a con. I know he's an honorable person, and I make no accusation like that. So I don't appreciate you using that word and kind of, you know, implying that I'm saying he's a con, because that is not true.
And you putting words in my mouth. Like,
you're
like,
the one who
like
said
Buzz,
con.
Like, no, that's not what I said.
I take it back.
If I said something, I apologize. I didn't.
Okay, well, then fine. I take back what I said, and I'm sorry. But I don't think Jim's a con. So there.
Okay,
I just want to comment that there was, when we went back when we had the issue and Buzz was chlorinating, then the DEQ got involved, they sent out to the board, you know, what is permissible in parts per whatever in a chlorine that is allowed to be, you know, distributed into the environment. So we have that. I have this somewhere. I don't have it right at hand right now, but you know, there are rules and regulations that we need to follow, and not just by guess and by golly, clean the tank and drain it out and let it run out onto the groundwater. And that's what Tom's talking about. We need to start following the rules and regulations that are set forth by OHA.
And by DEQ.
I agree.
The past practices.
I agree.
Okay.
But do we want to make a motion? To have Jim preliminary, have him, because I'm sure he has a busy schedule, and if we don't lock down time, he's going to be, by the time we get this information, it's going to be another 2 weeks out.
Right. Do we need a motion to have him come up? I guess we all have to agree to have him come up and clean the small tank then, right? Is that how this all works?
I don't know.
If we want to commit to paying him to clean the tanks, we do need a motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion to have him come up and clean the small tank, because we definitely need it cleaned and drained. And for your information, Beth, if you want to come up, I'll show you the two tanks. You can see the bottom of the large tank. You can see the liner and the blue bottom. There's no sediment in the large tank, because both springs feed into the small tank first. That's where the sediment is, and
it catches all of it. Yeah,
the sediment in the small tank.
But Dana, I would like to take you up on that offer. I'd like to see that.
Okay, great. Just let me know. I'm pretty much available most of the time. I'm hoping to be able to surf in the mornings, but I'll even pass that up to take you up there and show you.
Okay. I'll give you a call.
Great. Thanks, Dick.
Yeah, Dick needs a tour of the tank farm anyway as a new commissioner.
So I made a motion for him to, for Jim to come up and clean the small tank.
For $900?
Yep.
And he said he would do the springs together with it. It's a package deal. So if we tell him to do the small tank, he's going to think that you want him to do the springs also.
You don't want him to clean the springs?
I didn't say that.
Oh,
I'm just,
he
just
offered to.
Not until we actually get the regulation, rules and regulations of doing that. I would rather him not myself either. I mean, until.
Do which?
Not clean the springs.
Beth, I was just clarifying that when Jim says he's going to clean the small tank, he means clean all the springs and the small tank.
We could have him just clean the small tank if you don't want the springs sanitized.
I was just making a point that when Jim talked to me, he says that he does them all together. And so
because
we're talking about the cleaning the small tank, to him, it means clean the springs too.
Well, we could specify it either way, if that's what you're saying. I don't quite understand what you're saying.
Well, I was just clarifying, because Dana said talked about cleaning the small tank, and I wanted to clarify that Jim lumps the springs in with the cleaning of the small tank, so that people could make an informed decision on what's going to happen, whether to segregate out part of that task or do the whole thing.
Okay. So Dana, you made a motion to have Jim come up and clean the small tank for $900, and we could have him wait a couple weeks. You know, we're meeting on the 11th for our regular meeting, so maybe you'd have that information by then and we can connect with him. Dana, are you specifying that this would be without cleaning the springs?
At this time, until we get more information on, you know, putting chlorine in our springs.
Well, you know,
I don't know of anywhere where you're allowed to chlorinate any water or any springs or anything where it's permissible to dump chlorine into springs. You know, I mean, I had...
How do they sanitize them then? Is there another substance they can use to sanitize it?
Well, no, they were just to avoid discharging the chlorinated water if it was in excess of the legal limit, which is, I think, 0.15 milligrams per liter, but I don't quote me on that. You would have to dechlorinate somehow. That's one way. I don't know if extra time would take care of it, but yeah, I don't have an answer, but there are ways to dechlorinate.
The other day when I was talking to Craig, he said that, you know, that spray the inside of the spring box and then leave it set for several days before putting a spring online. That was what he was talking about. So
you still have to check it for residual. Well, you still have to check it for the concentration of chlorine to be on the safe side.
Okay, so that could be done, I guess. So let's get back to your motion. Without cleaning the springs,
just yet, until we get information.
Right. So I think the reason Jim added that was because he says you might as well, because you've got the whole system shut off, and that's the time when you need to clean the spring. I mean, you got to shut off the flow going in, so you're just running off the big tank for a couple days till everything gets cleared out. But that's fine. We can do that. We can tell him without cleaning the springs unless we change our minds. I mean, that'll just make his time shorter. I would need a second on this motion.
I second.
Okay. And should we, okay. Any other discussion?
I just want to ask, did he say that he would also do the big tank at some time?
We didn't talk about the big tank.
He did that more recently, and I was there. I helped him.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that last spring, kind of?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And when was Jim last our superintendent? When was his last year?
June 30th was his.
June 30th of last year?
Yeah. Was his last day. Worked through June of last year.
So I'm just a little curious that, you know, we had all those big positive hits in 2019 and 20, and we haven't had any positive hits since October. For 6 months, we haven't had a positive reading since October.
Uh-huh. Because we did some sanitizing.
We haven't chlorinated our springs. I just wanted to point that out, but.
We did. We were dumping chlorine in the springs. We did them all after last summer. After those first hits, we got hits, May, June? Did we get one in July or was it August? Then we got another one. Yeah, they were treating the springs.
So we were just dumping chlorine in the springs. Okay.
Well, however they do it. And I wasn't along to witness it.
Well, that's why we need to get rid of the old practices and look to do the things the proper regulation way.
I cleaned up our water for a while till we got the October hit.
Okay.
So we got a motion on the floor to have Jim come up and clean the small tank for $900 and to not including cleaning the springs unless we get some further information on how to do it differently. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's vote. Taylor.
Yes.
Mr. Cutler?
Yes.
Okay, Kammer?
No.
Paul?
Yes.
Okay, I'll vote yes. That's 4 yes, 1 no. Motion passes. Anything else we want to dig into tonight?
I have a question.
Yes, Dick.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. Why do they call it a tank farm?
I don't know.
We have more than one tank.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they've always called it. I just go along with the crowd sometimes, you know? Okay, we're in the hour and a half. We had the possibility of talking about the scope of the big infrastructure project, the whole meal deal, as I sometimes call it, if time allows. I am pretty fine with having an hour and a half meeting myself. Does anybody else have an opinion on it?
I think we should take it up in the next board meeting.
Or maybe another work session.
Yes.
I personally think that we, until we get an engineer to look at both of them and give us the pros and cons, we really don't have much to say, because I personally have nothing to add, because I don't know which is the right way to go.
Yeah.
So I would like that information before we, and I sent an email to this. I would like more information before we even start talking about it, because it's just a waste of time. You know, we just keep going around and around and around and around.
And as one who hasn't been to the tank farm and looked at the tanks, I'd sure like to do that before I participate in any further in discussion.
If I could just plant a seed in people's mind, I reviewed what ideas have been tossed around, and we have the original feasibility study had a plan for and costs. And then we have the Cascade Waterworks plan that had costs and a list of items. And then we had a modified, a reduced scope Cascade Waterworks plan after he was requested to do that. So those are documents that you can look at and see what the different scenarios have been proposed over the last few years.
All right, thank you. I've reviewed some of those, but I'm sure not everything.
Okay, good. Anything else, or would someone like to make a motion to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Would you, Dana? Is there a second on that?
Second.
Is there anybody opposed?
Bonnie is raising her hand.
Bonnie? Nope. Oh, she did. I think that's from before.
Okay.
If there is no one opposed, then I think we should adjourn.
Okay. Okay.
That is 7:34.
Okay, I'm stopping recording.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.